I'm a grateful alcoholic. My name is George. I'd like to give my experience with the traditions as well as AA's experience. We came in here last week and we did a lot of history. I think I gave you about 4 hours of history in less than an hour, and I think that's amazing that I could have read that long without messing up as much as I felt like I did. You know, when we walk in here today, we're given three gifts. We call them the legacies. We're giving the three sides of that triangle and the circle that goes around it. We're given recovery, which is our steps. We're given unity, which is our traditions. And we're giving service, which is the 12 concepts. So those are the 36 principles. Now, when we hear that, I hear people say the principles are those one-word definitions that you see on the walls in a lot of rooms. Just to get rid of that disclaimer right from the beginning, that came in 1953 by a speaker in California, and he said these are the traditions behind the steps. Somebody liked it, they wrote them down, and they passed them on. When you read the traditions, you'll find out there is a multitude of principles. The steps are based in humility, and the traditions are based in anonymity. Those are what they all have in common. And in the 12th tradition, there's a little writing. It says the 12 points of tradition are little else than specific application of the 12 steps of recovery, our group life, and our relationship with society in general. The recovery steps would make each individual AA whole and one with God. The 12 points of tradition would make us one with each other and the whole world about us. Unity is our aim. And that's what the first tradition is about, unity. So we got up to 1939, and I said I'd tell a couple of little stories. There's two people that came in 1939 that were very helpful. Last week I talked about a woman named Florence, and Florence was the first woman that came in AA, otherwise this program would be called 100 Men. And she came in, and she insisted on changing it, and she died before she got sober. But we became Alcoholics Anonymous, somewhere in that term. Around late in that time, there was a woman who was sent to us through a man by the name of Harry Tybo, let me say it right. And he sent her from an institution. Her name is Marty Mann. And a lot of people, as we go through the tradition, you'll hear a lot about Marty Mann. Marty Mann started education. Now, she came in, she went out, and came back. And this is all in 1939. And she stayed after that. At the same time she came in, there was a woman named Gladys. And I like to talk about Gladys. Last week, I talked a little bit about the car polish salesman for a product that didn't exist, that Bill decided to get him rid of him because he was an agnostic, and they wanted to have an hour of peace and have a meeting. And he went to Philadelphia. And when he got to Philadelphia, like any good alcoholic at that time, he got a wet drunk. And the wet drunk bought the solution that he sold, and he started putting blurbs, which we call public information today, into the paper. And in those days, they used to have a sergeant at arms outside, and this woman, who was a dancer in the 20s on a line, came up in the line, came up to this place with a newspaper article, drunk. They say lit as an owl is the way the literature talks about it. She was drunk as a skunk, and when she walked in, she went over to this guy standing by the door, and she says, "I came here to be fixed." Now, if you read the articles in those days, it says, "If you want to be fixed of alcoholism, come to such and such a place, and we will get you fixed." And she walked over to this man standing at the door, and she says to him, "I want to be fixed." And he turns around to her, and he says, "You belong over there." He says, "What's over there?" He says, "Oh, the wives of the alcoholics and the family, friends, and members." And she got so mad, she took off this high heel pump and started beating this man. Beat him to the ground. And while he was on the ground, he says, "If you want to be fixed that bad, you go in." And that man that later became this woman's sponsor, and that man is a guy by the name of Ebbie Thatcher. And Ebbie Thatcher became Gladys's sponsor. Gladys moved to Texas, and I think it was Dallas, if I remember correctly. And when she moved there until she died, she helped many, many women. So here is how our unity started to develop. Somebody beat their way into a meeting because we didn't let women in at the time. We were a secret society. It was a men's society. You know, and you had to come through somebody else. So, you know, it's real interesting to watch how our preamble develops, Because when we walk in here, like I said, we're given three legacies. They only had one legacy. They had drunks, and they were afraid of what other drunks were going to do to this fellowship. They're afraid it would be torn down as other fellowships did. There's a bunch of great information. And in 1947, I want to talk about the preamble. We always talk about the preamble. I'm going to go to the big book in that, and I'm going to talk about why we read about more about alcoholism in a lot of meetings, because that comes out of California also. There's a lot of tradition that was built, and a tradition is a practice, and after a practice, it becomes a policy or a custom, and from that custom, it becomes traditional. When you get to the fourth tradition, we're going to talk about how different meetings, this meeting as well, has their tradition on how they do things, and each group has a right to do that. That's what we do, as long as we're not affecting other groups or AA as a whole. So the preamble was written in 1947, it was adopted in 1947. And in the preamble, if you read the forward in the very first edition, to the first edition in the big book, it says, and I'll read it as it's written, "We are not an organization in the conventional sense of the word. There are no fees or dues whatsoever. The only requirement for membership is an honest desire to start drinking. We are not allied with any particular faith, sect, denomination, nor do we endorse anyone. We simply wish to be helpful to those who are afflicted." Now, that was in the foreword in 1939 for the big book. In 1947, right around the time that we started writing the traditions now, the 12 points of insurance is what Bill wrote originally in 1946. And from 1946 to 1947, he was trying to sell the idea. I talked about a guy by the name of Earl T. Earl T we'll talk about in the fourth tradition when we get there. Earl T told him to simplify the traditions. There's a long form of the traditions, and there's a short form of the traditions. We read the short form. And in the time that was going on, we came up with this preamble, very much what it says in the front. And I want to read the preamble as we read it. It's in the front of every grapevine. It says, "Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism." That's only a combination of Tradition 1 and Tradition 5. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. That is Tradition 3. "There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions," Tradition 7. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institutions," Tradition 6. "Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses or opposes any causes," that's Tradition 10. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety," back to Tradition 5. And we read that at every meeting, and most people don't even know how it affects us as far as traditions. In the 12 and 12 at the very beginning of the book, again, those one-word things for steps, if they work for you, by all means, please use them. I don't wish to tell anybody that it's not good for them. I just know when I came in here, I was told to read the preface, forward to the first, to the 12 and 12, which came in 1950, was approved, was printed in 1954 and published, I guess, in 55. It started going into print. And what it says, AA's 12 steps are a group of principles, spiritual in nature, which if practiced of a way of life can expel the obsession drink and enable the sufferer to be usefully and happily whole. AA's 12 traditions apply to the life of the fellowship, and they outline the means by which AA maintains its unity and relates itself to the world about it, the way it lives and grows. AA lives and grows. So that's what our literature tells us. Now, we're in that area from 1939 to 1950 when they adopted the traditions, and they call that the trial and error, our adolescence, the flying blind time of our recovery, of our fellowship. And what happened is in 1950, the traditions were adopted. And we have a second edition which came out in the big book, because the big book came out, we're in the fifth printing now, the fourth printing now, will be a fifth. And the only thing that really changes is stories and the preferences. The first 160 doctor's opinion through the first 164 pages, and Bill's story has stayed intact pretty much from the beginning. And if we read in the forward to the second edition, it says, and I'm going to skip, I'll start with Tradition 1. It says, "AA has had to hang together or die separately. We had to unify our fellowship or pass off the scene." Again, Bill is taking his history lesson from the Oxford groups, the Washingtonians, and all those that came before us, was very well aware of that. And that is our first tradition right there. And then a little further on, it says it was thought that no alcoholic man or woman could be excluded from a society, tradition three, that our leaders might serve but never govern, tradition two, that each group be autonomous, tradition four, and there would be no professional class of therapy, tradition eight. There would be no fees or dues. Our expenses were to be met by our own voluntary contributions, tradition seven. That it was better that least possible organization, even in our service centers, tradition nine. Our public relations were to be based on attraction rather than promotion. It was decided that all members ought to be anonymous at the level of press, radio, and film. That's tradition 11. And and in no circumstances should we ever give endorsements, makes or alliances. That's tradition 6. Or enter into public controversy. Tradition 10. There are your 12 traditions laid out in the second foreword. Now it took me a long, long time to see that. If you go into Bill's story, there's a whole lot. And I'm just going to read a couple little things. I've seen hundreds of families set on their feet in a path which goes somewhere. I've seen the most impossible domestic situations right in feuds and bitterness of all sorts were wiped out. I've seen men come out of asylums and resume vital part in their lives and their families and communities. Business and professional men have regained their standing. And it goes on for another page. In page 16, and he talks about there is a vast amount of fun about us this all. I suppose some would be shocked to see at our seeming worldliness and levity. But just underneath, there is deadly earnestness. Faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us while we perish. Again, there's that unity that he was talking about. A couple of my favorite things in traditions is really, and there is a solution. It says... It talks about the, and I'm not going to read it, I let you guys look it up. It talks about the camaraderie that's of the sinking ship and the great fellowship that happens from the steerage to the captain's table, because we're all on the same vessel. And that was really a very powerful statement when I got here. The tremendous fact for every one of us that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out in which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. And that means that's the we part of the program that I had a lot of problem with when I got here. A little later on, it tells us of necessity. We will have to be discussions of matters medical, psychiatric, social, and religious. We are aware of their very natures. And from their very nature, they are controversial. Nothing would please us is to write a book which contains no basis for contention or argument. We shall do our utmost to achieve this ideal. Most of us sense real tolerance of other people's shortcomings and viewpoints and respect for their opinions and attitudes, which make us more useful to others. Our very lives as ex-problem drinkers depend on a constant thought of others and how we can help meet their needs. Now, I like to read that because when I came in here, I was a selfish, self-centered person, and I didn't know how to get to the recovery part, yet alone look at the other side and be at peace with the people in the room. I was very disunified with the group when I got here, to put it mildly. There's some people that knew my antics when I got in here. I would beat the third tradition, and I'll say what I used to do, although I don't do it today. I used to come in and say I have a desire not to drink, and I'd start talking about everything under the sun except alcohol and my alcoholism, just for someone to tell me to please leave the room so I can go get drunk or go get high. And it was great. I'm very grateful for the people that love me enough to sit me down and teach me respect to the room. Teach me about respect for the fellowship. Show me that I don't have to be apart from anybody else in this room. Once we walk in this door, we are all equal. I remember real early on, somebody used to say, there are no big shots, there are no little shots, one shot and we're all shot. And that's real important because that is still true today. So as I walked in here and I wanted to get more involved, I kept telling, I'm a newcomer, I'm the new, most important guy in here, and I would puke every meeting I went to. And one day, Bob Welsh, God rest his soul, he's no longer with us, he's the man who carried a message to me, he says, George, I don't care about what you feel, what you think, what you want. I care about what you do. And the one thing you have to learn to do in Alcoholics Anonymous is to carry Alcoholics Anonymous's message, not your message. Because if you don't know where we came from, this fellowship may not be here for the sick and suffering alcoholic that may be walking in this door one day. I have a sick and suffering son that I hope walks in this door one day. And had it not been given to me by the people that gave it to me and taught me how to be more unified with the other people around me and less interested in self, that I would not be able to carry a message to my son, which on God's grace I am at this point, as little contact as we have. But that didn't happen because I just decided I was going to run on self-will. That happened because people gave me enough of the history to say that what I feel, think, and want really doesn't matter. How do I carry the message to a sick and suffering alcoholic? That's the unity we talk about. There's a great little pamphlet that how AA's tradition and how it was written, and what it says in there, when an alcoholic applies the 12 steps of his own recovery program to his personal life, his disintegration stops and his unification begins. I had to do all the 12 steps to start realizing that this unity that I had with the fellows in here and the women in here was based on contempt. I was contemptuous of everything going on here. I could not be in unity with anybody until I let go absolutely, as it says in How It Works. The power which now holds him together is one piece overcomes those forces which will rend him apart. If we don't stay together, we're going to be ripped apart. We're not going to be ripped apart by society at large. We were afraid of that at the beginning. We're not afraid of that now. We know we can be ripped apart internally. We will never be broken from the outside. We will be broken from the inside. Exactly the same principle lies to each AA group and Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole. So long as the ties that bind us together prove far stronger than those forces which would divide us, if they could, all will be well. We shall be secure as a movement. Our essential unity will remain a certainty. And then it says that, but AA unity cannot automatically preserve itself. Like personal recovery, we shall always have to work to maintain it. I have to work to maintain when I go into a room, any room, and there's somebody I don't like, to practice love and tolerance. To listen to somebody, I don't want to hear what he has to say because I know he's going to say the same thing he always has. But if I don't practice that love and tolerance and companionship and love and all that stuff that I was given in those steps, I am separating myself from the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. My sponsor used to tell me the ugliest thing in Alcoholics Anonymous to look at is untreated alcoholism. It's not about the person who's drinking. We have all the love in the world for someone who comes in here drunk. But when somebody is having a problem and they're off center and we sit there and judge them, who are we to judge anybody? I mean, when I sit here and judge a wet alcoholic that walks into a room of Alcoholics Anonymous because he's drunk and tell him to come back tomorrow because he needs to be sober before he gets here, what am I doing? I mean, if it wasn't for the people that sat in rooms with wet drunks and sponsors that grabbed me into bars when I was new that told me, tell them your story. I said, but I'm here a week and a half. He says, I don't care. He'll relate to you better than me with 40 years. And it's amazing. That's how we get that. That's the cement that binds us, is one alcoholic talking to another. That's where it starts. So the groups have that same problems. Now, opinions, and I'm going to have to say this because I didn't give my favorite. I do not speak for Alcoholics Anonymous. None of us have that right. I hope I give my experience through these traditions over the next few weeks and as we get through this, and not my opinion, because opinions keep sick people sick. And they have the ability to actually kill. And we'll talk about that in later traditions, because the things that I heard when I got in here, because I wanted to be a good AA-er, and I'll talk about it now. not going to wait. When I came in here, I was on medication, and that's an outside issue. And I know it's an outside issue. We have a 10th tradition for that. And I walked into a room, and I was sharing one day, and some guy said, if you're on that, you're not sober. And I stopped taking it, and 3 days later, I had a seizure in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And my sponsor said to me, where did you get so smart? I said, well, so-and-so said. He says, well, anybody that's practicing medicine in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, run from. Because they're in here, they're just another drunk. They can't tell you what to do. You have a doctor for that, you have a sponsor for that. And he said, what does the book say? I didn't know what the book said. So he said, pointed me to page 133, and it tells us the good doctor, the good psychiatrist is there for us to use, and their services are indispensable in following it up. That's the unity that I didn't understand when I got here, because I wanted to be get good instead of get well, and that got me sick. You know, and so I had to be real careful what I listen to in these rooms and who I listen to them from. If somebody tells me what I need to do legally, I run like hell. I go to a lawyer. I could send somebody to a lawyer if they need legal help, but you don't want to come to me about how to have a healthy marriage. I had two divorces. So, you know, that's something I was good at. I did learn how to be a parent in here because other people taught me that. And, you know, those are the things we learn. I emulate the people I love because they have walked that path that I would like to follow. So I learned in here there are no doctors, there are no lawyers. We go to outside areas for that service. That is part of the unity here. We don't have a right to mess with anyone's head, with their, you know, we'll get into the he and she and that we all talk about, because I know what our literature says and I know what my sponsor told me. Defective relationships is why I'm in here. And I learned to have my relationships with others in here. I wasn't one of those that was told to keep out of a relationship for a year. I was told unless I'm spiritually, mentally, and emotionally compatible with another person, then I don't belong having a relationship with them. I had it all wrong when I got here. So I needed someone to guide me through this stuff. Just the same way I was guided through the steps, I needed someone to guide me through the history and the traditions of the fellowship. All right. We would like each AA to become just as much aware of those disturbing tendencies which endanger us as a whole as he is conscious of those personal defects which threaten his own sobriety and peace of mind. For whole movements have before now gone on benders too. There's the story of a group. There was 12 or 13 people in it. It's an AA comes of age. They sent out one of the guys. There was a woman. It wasn't very many women at the time. And one of the guys decided, he got the phone call in the group, he'd go out and help her. He went out to help her. He got drunk. Somebody else didn't know where he went. They got drunk. 13 people ended up getting drunk as a whole group, and they all sobered up together. And they're all good members of Alcoholics Anonymous. He talks about that story. That's one of the reasons it's suggested we don't go out alone, that we always have another alcoholic with us. That's the experience in our flying blind in our youth. One of the great stories that I like is California, 1939, and Denver, 1939. Remember, we're very much in our infancy at this point. And in California, there's a group. Two people from the East go up to this group. They're getting around, they are reading chapters out of the big book. There's another guy who's giving a medical view of alcoholism, and there's controversy, and the two people from the East, the woman of the two, drinks, and they decide to send her and her husband decide to go back to New York. There's another guy in Denver, he got sober in around, I guess it was the middle of, he bought a big book in the middle of October, November, and it's now December of 1939. And he's in Denver, and he's on his way to California on business. He opens up his big book. He reads the big book. He stays sober. He gets to California. And the other two people that were in that group in California, it's called the Mother Group of Alcoholics Anonymous in California. And it's in our history. And what ends up happening is they're going to leave, and they give him a list of potential alcoholics. And he reads it, and what he does is he goes with another guy who was a big book convert who came out of an institution, and he goes and they read the fifth chapter at a meeting of how it works. That became a custom of that group. That custom is one of the reasons that the 12 steps are up on the wall that we use as custom today. Came out of California in 1939, 1940. That's rich history, and that's good history. Now, I didn't understand any of that when I got here. And it was really challenging. You know, the big book says, we hope your imagination will be fired. It's in a vision for you. Life will mean something at last. Well, as I started getting into the history and where we come from, I started seeing a lot of wonderful things that were happening long before they happened. We talk about how Bill and Evie were friends from 11 years old. And they didn't get together for many, many years. And Dr. Bob and Sister Ignatia worked together. And they didn't get together for the time it took. The Oxford groups. It's all falling into, the picture is starting to grow around us. And we're coming out of our adolescence. We're in a flying blind stage. And we get, you know, these little essays that are going on in 1940. 46 and one a month starting December of 1947 of the 12 steps. Dr. Bob did not want the 12 steps, just so everybody, the 12 traditions. He was very much against them. He got sick, and before he died, it was an understanding. And I have a paper, which I am not going to read today, where he talks about how two people got together, and besides Dr. Bob, and were really going to fight the traditions. But if you realize when the traditions went into place in 1950 at the convention, it was unanimous. Because the people who heard what there was going on and saw how the fellowship was starting to grow realized that we needed these. These were safeguards. They didn't call them rules. They didn't call them regulations. They called them traditions. First, they called them 12 points assurance to our future, because we were not sure of what our future was going to be. And we were afraid because of all the people that were coming into Alcoholics Anonymous. Got to remember, the article just came out. We're being infiltrated from all over. People are leaving on resentment, starting other groups. If you realize, last week I gave a whole bunch of statistics of how many groups and how much it's grown. In the 16-plus years that I've been around this area, we've grown almost fivefold in meetings, just in this particular area. That's we keep growing, and we divide because groups get too big, or we divide because of resentments. So that's what stops the groups. So there's a lot of rich history as we start going. I want to go and carry, what the steps mean to me and how I got it and what the traditions are and what I see out of them. And then I want to talk about the circle and the triangle, which came in 1950. And I want to talk about some of my personal experience with Unity, if I can. All right. The steps, they start with the problem. First step is the problem. Second step states the solution. 3 through 9 tells you how to activate that solution. And in steps 10, 11, and 12 is how we grow in effectiveness and usefulness. That's what the 12 steps give us. Now, we walk in to the traditions, which were adopted in 1950, and the first tradition states the solution. Traditions 2 through 12 tells us how we accomplish that solution through personal and group sacrifice. You know, when I come into a room and I sacrifice myself for the benefit of the group, not who's making the coffee or who's doing what, but how can I help, that is a sacrifice of self to make the group function. I am getting in better unity with what's going on. When I don't complain about the person who sits at the chair who's been chairing for 3 months, and the reason I don't complain is because I know somebody's not stepping up. I believe in our second tradition very much so, but a lot of times people just won't step up. So some people get stuck doing service more than they want to. So, you know, when you're asked to get in, like somebody said to me about being in the barrel, so we each have our day in the barrel. We each get a chance to chair a meeting. Some of us get a chance to sponsor. Some of us do service work. We all do this in a different way. So getting into the traditions, what do the traditions really state? Well, the first 5 traditions are affirmations. The first one affirms unity. The second tradition is a God is the only authority. The third tradition affirms singleness of purpose for membership, the only requirement. The fourth is independence, the independence of each group. And the fifth affirms our primary purpose, to carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. The next 7 are renunciations. We're going to give something up. What we're going to give up in tradition 6 is property. In tradition 7, we renounce wealth. In tradition 8, professionalism. In tradition 9, bureaucracy. In tradition 10, controversy. And in tradition 11, prestige. And tradition 12, personalities before principles. We're going to give up personalities. The power of personality is what we're giving up, because we're going to start applying principles. The relationships that the tradition brings, and I want to, as I said, in the 12 and 12, it tells us the 12 steps are a group of principles, and the same holds true for the group and AA and our society as a whole. That tradition, the traditions are about relationships. First relationship I have to have is between myself and the group. how I work and move around a group, whatever group it is. The second is the group and other groups. Those are the second relationships we have in traditions. With this group, as it applies to groups all around us, if there was another meeting at the exact same time as this down the road, that would be running the same format, we may be hurting another group, and we cooperate, but we don't affiliate, and then we have to also make sure we're not hurting them or ourselves, so groups talk to each other. So that's the second relationship we have. Then we have the relationship with groups and AA as a whole, how each group relates to Alcoholics Anonymous itself. And then as the last relationship we're going to have as far as traditions are concerned, as AA as a whole relates to the world at large. Now, the reason I brought that one up, and I like that one, is there's a couple of stories in here in AA Comes of Age, which I happen to like as one of my favorite books. One of them is about a Protestant who was carrying the message to a Buddhist. And the Buddhist, and he was going to translate it into the language, and it was given to the head of this Buddhist temple, and he said, well, they don't understand God the way we understand God. Can we substitute good for God? And there was a whole controversy amongst the AA, Bill and Bob, actually, were worrying what that would do to us. And then they came back, and the Buddhist said, you know, it says God is, we understand the being, we don't understand God the way you do, we understand good. Then, you know, we thought we were going to water it down and we were going to lose it because of that. Well, if you look at the number of fellowships that have borrowed our 12 steps and our 12 traditions as they laid out and applied them to the uses they want it, whether it, and I'm not going to go through the 200 plus fellowships there are because I probably could qualify for most of them, but they're there. They're there because what was given is that it says that we borrow this from all different places of religion, medical, and we use them all. So this is nothing new. A lot of the religious programs that were before us, we borrowed a lot of the stuff, whether it be biblical, and I'm not going to get into that stuff, whether it be spiritual. That's what separated a lot of us because of the singleness of purpose as we went along. And we have that circle and triangle. In 1994, when I got here, there was no, now on the old big books and in England, there was this symbol of the circle and triangle. It used to be copyrighted. And what ended up happening because of other traditions, we didn't, because we're such good alcoholics, we never renewed it. If you look at the literature from England, they renewed it. They still use the circle and triangle. So what is the circle and triangle all about? And that's really always been something that really caught my attention because it's really out of antiquity. And it's in our literature, and I'll read some things about that. There are the three sides of the triangle. It's unity, service, and recovery. Unity is found in the fellowship. The service is found in carrying the message, and that treats the disease part. The recovery is found in the first 164 pages of the big book. And at meetings, I was always told, and that part works on the mind. So you have the mind, and you have the spirit, and the fellowship works on the body. Believe it or not, that's where we work on the body. And those are the 36 principles, steps, traditions, and concepts, 36 principles. And here's where what AA Comes of Age says on page 139 is that we have chosen this particular symbol is not by accident. The priests and seers of antiquity regarded the circle enclosing a triangle as a means of warding off spirits of evil. An AA circle and triangle of recovery, unity, and service has certainly meant all that and more, and much more to us. In the big book, it talks about resentment as the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it stems all forms of spiritual disease. For we had not only been mentally and physically ill, we had been spiritually sick. And then it says, right on the bottom of that page, it says, when the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. Body, mind, spirit, circle. Now, in AA Comes of Age, we're going to stay in AA Comes of Age, above us floats the banner which inscribed the new symbol for AA, a circle enclosing a triangle. The circle stands for the whole world of AA. The triangle stands for AA's three legacies, recovery, unity, and service. The chief inheritance of the first 12 years of Alcoholics Anonymous are those legacies. But the very first, But the first, we recover from alcoholism. The second, we stay together in unity. And the third is that our society functions and serves primarily the purpose of carrying the AA message to all those who need and want it. It will. This message, if you don't want it, I guarantee you, it will never be carried to you. My sponsor used to say, this is a program for people who want it and do it. You can want it all you want. If you don't take the actions that is prescribed in our literature and in the people who walked here before us, you won't get it. You know, and it all it's based on is the grace of God. That's the one thing and the only thing that God keeps us here. God keeps us together. The first evening in St. Louis, and that was in 1955, we looked at the base of the triangle, which was recovery. That's what they had in up to 1955. The second evening, they completed the triangle, the second side of unity, which is the 12 traditions, which we're talking about next couple of weeks. And the next afternoon, they did the concepts where Bill and Bob gave the fellowship back to the fellowship. And they had nothing more to do with it. And that is why we came of age. That is when we came of age. That's when AA came of age. Then it said the symbol was complete. Recovery, unity, and service by which under God our fellowship has been created and been even his command for so long as he may use us as a society. There has been many societies before us. Last week we read of three major ones. There was a whole lot of other ones in between. I think there was about six different societies we talked about last week. All of them crumbled because God saw fit not to keep us carrying that message of unity to the next sick and suffering. The Washingtonians, the Oxford groups, you can go into the Peabody movement. There was so many different things that were going on at that time. So we get to the traditions of how it developed, which is what I read. And then there's the 12 concepts of world service, which Bill wrote, and there's a whole book. And I don't know very many people who, unless they're in service, that ever even open that book up. But it tells us that the 12 concepts are interpretations of world service structure. They reveal the evolution by which it is arrived in its present form, in detail the experience and reasoning which the operation stays today. What that is an outgrowth of what we've done in the steps and the tradition. They all go back to the steps for some reason. So as we get here, and we get to tradition one, and I'm not going to read, I should read the long form, but I'm going to read the short one. Our common welfare comes first, personal recovery depends on AA unity. The whole AA program is founded on the principle of humility, that is to say perspective, which implies, among other things, that we relate ourselves rightly to God, to our fellows, and with each other as we really are, a small part of a great whole. Seeing our fellows thus, we shall enjoy group harmony. Now, if I think I'm better than anybody else, or I have more knowledge than anybody else, or I think I got this, I'm in deep trouble. I'm constantly seeking to improve that knowledge. I'm constantly seeking to get right with my fellows and with God, of my understanding, higher power, if you'd like. Does this mean, some will ask, that AA, the individual, does not count for much? Is he swallowed up, dominated by the group? Nope. It isn't. We give a lot of freedom. If I walked in this room, when I walked in this room, and people told me, and I'm going to only give my experience, to sit down and shut up, I probably went out and drank, because that's what I did my whole life, because that's what I heard growing up, sit down and shut up. I did not know how to communicate. And I'm grateful for the man who carried the message to me when Bob said to me, George, if you think it and feel it, go in an AA room, raise your hand, say, this is what's going on. Who else felt this? And what did they do not to drink that day? And then he told me to sit down and listen for the answer. So there was just a different approach that I had. Now, if you're told to sit down and shut up, listen to your sponsor, don't listen to me, because I'm only giving you my experience. I don't tell my sponsors what to do. I don't care where they go to meetings, as long as they go to meetings. I don't care what kind of meetings they go to. I was told, for me, I had to go to a big book meeting, a 12 and 12 meeting. I had to go to an As Bill Sees It meeting, a Language of the Heart meeting, and then I can go to a Living Sober meeting, and then if I wanted to on the other day, I can choose any kind of meeting I wanted after that. There was not much time left after that. It tells us there is no society on earth that is more solicitous of personal welfare and more careful to grant the individual the greatest possible liberty of belief and action. Alcoholics Anonymous has no must. We have a few AA groups impose penalties on anyone for nonconformity. I did not conform when I came in here. I was that guy in spiritual experience who had contempt for everybody in this room. I didn't want to be here. You didn't understand. I was different. I was unique. I don't care what you want to call it. I was told those were all excuses for me to set myself up to head out for another drink. Until I let go of those old ideas, absolutely, as it talks about, the result was nil. And as I let go of things, I became more unified with the group. And after a while, you know, I used to say, well, how many meetings do I got to go? Well, how often do I got to go to meetings? My sponsor says, you go until you want to go. That was a wrong thing to say to me, because I started wanting to go, and then I was going to more meetings because I started enjoying the people in here. I started changing, and I believe the traditions infiltrated my life in a way that I never expected. You see, I didn't look at the second part of that wall at the traditions when they were up there. All I saw were the steps. I couldn't look at the other side. I didn't want to be part of you guys. But slowly, because of doing the steps, I was giving up more of myself and becoming more unified with the group. And as I traveled this, that is my main goal, to be a part of the fellowship, to carry the message to the person who isn't here yet. Because that door has to be open. And if we get caught in selfish and self-centeredness and drink, they're walking into an empty room. And what could AA won't be here. So like the person who was here before me taught me that I need to be here, and I always think of an alcathon that my sponsor had me do a 4 o'clock in the morning meeting, I'll never forget it, up the road. I'm not going to mention the name of the place that it was in. And I'm sitting there, and I'm the only one in there, and I'm reading as Bill says. And I said, what am I might as well just leave. And at 10 to 5, I decided I was going to leave, and I was going to walk out. And as I was walking out, a wet drunk walked in. And I will tell you, I stayed in that room till 7 o'clock in the morning, and I sat and talked to this guy. And I'll tell you one thing. I don't know if he ever came back. I don't know if he ever showed up, but I didn't want to drink after that. And I realized why it's important that we stay unified as a group, and that there is another alcoholic in this room when I walk in here. That's enough out of me for today. Thanks for letting me share.